Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So day one at the Davis Cup by BNP Paribas final has come and gone, and it has gone completely the way of Croatia. An absolute landslide in their favour after the first two rubbers of the day. First of all, we've had Borna Coric defeating Jeremy Chardy of France, and then it was Marin Cilic's turn, and he also defeated Joe Wilfried Tsonga. So six sets out of six, and it was noisy at times. But Matt Roberts, who's over there inside the stadium, I think, which was noisy, it's not noisy anymore.
It's not, no. It's just me and the guy watering the court at the moment. And yes, a few hours ago, this was bouncing with Croatian support, and the French sort of filed their way out rather miserably at the end, because that is an absolute thumping today. The French didn't even break serve. That's how comprehensive it was.
Wow. That's rather different, Catherine Whittaker, to the scene that you were describing exactly a year ago, because I think it was 1-1, wasn't it, after day one last year?
Yeah, it sounds like it's an immense contrast. I mean, I'm sure that won't have any impact on how loud the crowd cheer tomorrow or the next day, if the day three is even in play, which is, you know, I think I'm expecting France to take a point in the doubles tomorrow, but it's very far from a gimme, very, very far from that. So there is now a chance that this could be a three-love win for Croatia, which I think all neutrals would probably prefer that it wasn't. But yeah, there's no other way to describe today than a thumping. 6-0 in sets. I mean, yeah, no breaks of serve, no real moments in either match where you ever really thought that either Chardy or Tsonga were going to mount a challenge, a serious one. So yeah, lots of thinking to do for Yannick Noah overnight. Not that there's anything, I mean, it's obvious who he's putting in for the doubles, not thinking in terms of decision making, just lots to chew upon.
Mm. I think it was you, Grad Matt, who said that this has the feeling of a mismatch, this tie, at the moment. And actually, until you said that last night, I'd been looking at the lineup and thinking, oh, you know, it's on French soil, and they've got Tsonga, and they've got this depth, they've got this great doubles team. I think it could be pretty close. I would make Croatia favourites because of their two number one players, but You were pretty adamant at that point. And then when I started to dig down into the detail of of why that might be, and the lack of activity of Songa and the decision to put Shadi in ahead of Luca Puy and et cetera, et cetera. I definitely came around by the end of the podcast to being more in your camp. Was it when you were out there, when the teams came out, did it quickly become a feeling of that ilk? Because I watched what was interesting to me was watching the anthems, and I feel like you can there's nothing quite like Davis Cup anthems, and the contrast between the two teams was so stark. You'd got Croatia, who weren't even singing along with their national anthem. They were barely acknowledging it. They were stone faced. And then you got the French team. You got Nicolas Mahut crying in floods of tears, and the rest of them were belting out the French national anthem, and then suddenly it all went flat, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. I must say, first of all, La Marseillaise is just the most brilliant national anthem. I learnt the words to it for a school trip where we went to watch France play in the Six Nations, and we spent all day.
Your school trips were better than mine, Matt.
Well, it was actually a school trip to see a Molière play with a rugby match tagged on to the end. It was very good. But
I went school camping down the local field.
But the story is that we were so late getting to the stadium, we missed the national anthem, so learning the words proved to be fairly pointless. But on this occasion, I was in the stadium and caught La Marseillaise, and it really does have a rousing impact on this stadium. But yes, as you said, very quickly, it turned the other way because Čurić broke in the very first game.
And then he won. A long game, wasn't it? It was about an 11-minute game.
Yeah, and Shardy had a couple of double faults, and there was a moment where the big screen zoomed in on Yannick Noah's face, who was grimacing as if to say, oh, good Lord, what have I done, kind of. And Čurić broke, and then he went on to win 15 points in a row and be 4 love up, and so he stamped his authority, and he never lost it, to be honest. And from there, Croatia were in charge. And just going back to your point about sort of why I felt this was a bit of a mismatch, just looking at the teams, you know, France without their top three singles players this week, Gasquet's injured, Monfils and Simon not picked. They've got their differences, I think, with Yannick Noah. And then he's benched the number four, Luca Puy. And you've ended up in a situation where Jeremy Shardy is the lowest ranked number one Frenchman to ever play in a Davis Cup final, and Songa the lowest ranked number two, against two players who've, you know, been in the top 10 this year. So it kind of played true to form. I think the thing about the Davis Cup is Yannick Noah has this expression where he says you try and control everything you can control, and then you just hope for a bit of madness in the match, but the madness never came. They were relying on that to disrupt Čurić and disrupt Čilić. They needed the fans. They needed all the background elements. But really, Čurić and Čilić did such a good job of just stripping back those elements and just treating it like a normal match, and they were the superior players, and that's how it played out.
Catherine?
Yeah, I think that's I think that's really interesting. I think Noah tries to make it about so much more than tennis, doesn't he? Like, you know, we talked yesterday about his mystical quality, and obviously on paper, more than ever, he needed to make it about all the things other than the tennis today. And the Croatians just said, no, this is going to be about tennis, and we're better at tennis than you. Or, you know, these two players are better than these two players, and that's what it's going to be about today.
Bearing all that in mind, Catherine, what I was going to say is, given all of that, we make a big play for what an amazing captain Yannick Noah has been. And look, his record stands there for all to see. Champion in 91, champion in 96, champion last year. And he has made inspired choices. He has motivated like nobody has motivated before. We were talking yesterday about his Yannick Noah retreat that we all suddenly wanted to sign up to. But does he have a big case to answer here with those team selections, not only dropping Luca Puy, but not picking Gilles Simon, who has had a good year? I think he was 34 wins and 22 losses this year. He's 30 in the world. He's reached the final of clay court events. I mean, how hard at this stage? I know it's not over, but it's, you could say it's as good as over. We'll get the stat from Matt in a bit, but how strongly do you feel about it?
Yeah, and that's probably something we didn't talk about too much yesterday, the players he didn't even pick for the squad, notably, of course, Simon and Monfils, who we understand there are philosophical differences of varying degrees with both of them. Gasquet, I think, is struggling with an injury, I believe.
Yeah, I believe so.
But I mean, so is Songa. Songa seems to be struggling with a few. So
he looked undercooked today, didn't he?
Oh, big time. Big time undercooked, yeah. I mean, obviously he had the medical timeout between sets 2 and 3, I think it was, which went off court for it. But I think it was a hip injury, which is a new one. You know, when he pulled out of the practice on Tuesday, I'd heard reports that it was the back, but then reports came out yesterday that it was in fact the shoulder. But then it seemed to me that it was something more in the hip domain that he received treatment on today. So he's obviously, you know, not quite right. He looks like he needs a good pre-season to me. You know, he looks like he needs to have a good run at training without injury intervening. Incredibly undercooked. You know, his second serve was being eaten for breakfast today, and he was just getting... I mean, Cilic played superbly. He served like a dream today. So, you know, he wasn't really being given anything to get his teeth into, but that made it all the more important that he was a real force on his own serve, and he didn't feel like a force, you know, in any way, which is a real sad thing to say. I hope he gets back there, but it certainly seems too soon. So look, I mean, he's a high risk, high reward captain, isn't he, Yannick Noah? But that means that when it doesn't pay off, you do have questions to answer. Absolutely. And some would say that the best captains are the ones that just get the players playing for you, no matter how difficult that might be. And some would say that the best captains are the ones that don't let the player power overawe them, and don't let, you know, do say to players, all right, then, well, if you're going to be like that, you know, I don't know the details of the feuds with Simon Monfils and whoever else over the years, but are the ones that are strong enough to say, okay, I'm not going to pick you, you know, for whatever principled reason. So I don't necessarily have the answers to the question, but I think if the rest of the final goes the way we probably expect it to, there are certainly valid questions for him to answer.
Borna Coric, Matt, he has made rises this year that I think have gone a little unnoticed. We did have a podcast on him when he got to one of the big finals a few weeks ago, and we did go quite deep into his emergence. But I just feel like today was another step entirely, because this guy, I think it was Tamani Carroll, said on Twitter that he used to be so demonstrative. He was veins popping out of the neck and fist pumping all the time whenever he would hit winners. Today, he was so composed, wasn't he? I mean, he was taking Shardy to the woodshed, to use a Brad Gilbertism, but he was doing it quietly, calculatingly, and he was doing it cold-bloodedly as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And he also served really well. That was very noticeable. And Jeremy Shardy was actually asked about the improvements that Coric has made, because Shardy, I think, led the head-to-head going into this match. Certainly had beaten him before and they had close matches. And he said that Coric has really improved his serve. He was serving at 75% today. And that's kind of been a hallmark of his season. When he had that run in Shanghai that you mentioned, he was really serving well when he took out Federer. And yeah, I mean, we've talked a lot about sort of Tsitsipas and Khachanov and Zverev, and, you know, probably we should be putting Coric in that sort of category as well. He's maybe not quite as eye-catching as those three, but he's very effective. And if you look at the guys who've dominated tennis in the past 10 years, maybe they've all been the best defenders, if you like, the best movers, and Coric is definitely in that category. And he can absolutely sting you with his backhand up the line as well. And he just caught Shardy very cold a lot of that, and just exposed his movement really very well today.
on clay as well, Catherine. I mean, I just watched the first set of that today and thought, how has this guy not made a really deep run yet at the French Open? Because it's all there.
Yeah, I think he's been struggling to know what to do with his game, to know whether... struggling to sort of reach a level of comfort with his game. I think he sort of tried to add weapons to it or to sort of feel like he has to hit harder than comes naturally to him. But I think, yeah, he needs to listen to Grad Matt. You know, look at the trends in tennis over the last 10 years. His natural game, you know, if he can make the most of it, is enough, I think, to get him to fulfill his potential, to get him to certainly Grand Slam semi-finals, possibly finals, given that, you know, there are going to be openings in men's tennis in years to come. And I like that. I think he's a thinker, isn't he, Borna Coric? And sometimes that can work against players. I think maybe he's possibly overthought things over the years. Mm. You know, he had a lot of success very early. Those victories over... He beat Nadal twice, didn't he? And he beat Murray. And it all came... And that was at a time when there wasn't this next gen. You know, he was the first one to come through that everyone suddenly panicked and went, okay, finally, we've got a guy that can take over from Federer and Nadal. Don't worry, guys, the panic's over. We've got a guy. And yeah, it was before Zverev even emerged. So there was an awful lot heaped on his shoulders. And I think he's sort of taken a while to come to terms with all of that, with how his game fits and how it works. And yes, he's been through a lot of coaches, hasn't he? You had Thomas Johansson, Miles McLagan. He's spent a while figuring things out, and I'm so pleased that he's getting there, because I've really got a lot of time for him.
I
think he's an interesting chap.
And also, David, you mentioned how sort of composed he was. That was particularly impressive, because he actually said he was feeling quite nervous, partly because he missed the 2016 Davis Cup final through injury, and it's been playing on his mind for a few weeks, because he is actually carrying a bit of an injury. He went off court and he explained that he's been having it since Shanghai, so that was kind of weighing on his mind a little bit. But
how serious?
He says it's painful, but it's not a problem. I mean, to me that sounds like a contradiction, really. But He's playing it down. He says he can play on it for 5 or 6 hours, no problem. Yeah, I mean,
right.
But it is there, and it has been on his mind. I think it's in the sort of upper leg area. So yeah, he was nervous today, but he didn't really show it, because he was exceptional.
Well, fortunately, he's got more stamina than Solihull Simon, or I would never have managed to get my win. Marin Cilic, Catherine, has finally won a match without a wobble.
I was waiting for it, David. I was waiting, even when he was
he had a couple of break points against him, didn't he? And you just thought, oh, here we go. Here we go.
Yeah, I know. And honestly, he goes love 15 down and I think, oh, right, it's coming. but luckily he was so good today, and unfortunately Songa was sort of so unable to penetrate him on serve that I don't think he felt the jeopardy that it's the jeopardy that sends his mind into a spin that sends him into the choking spiral, isn't it? And I don't think he was ever near enough the cliff edge to start feeling that. I think he felt so in control throughout the whole thing that he was never anywhere near the precipice. So, yeah, I mean, that's probably doing him too. You know, it was because he was so good that he never got near the precipice. I mean, just completely dominating, bullying, aggressive. You know, Goran Ivanišević would have approved of what he saw today. I think he just imposed himself on that match, and didn't give Songa the chance to get inspired. And I'm sure Željko Krajan had a part to play in that. That was a good strategy. You know, just no nonsense, big boy, beefy tennis. Don't give the crowd anything to get their teeth into.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare.
PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello, Tennis Podcast listeners. David here. Now, you might know that I love a bit of cooking, and I think I'm quite good at it. But if I'm honest, even I get fed up trying to work out what to do every night. That's where Home Chef comes in. Being able to put together a delicious meal without the long prep and the cook times, well, that's pretty cool. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering Tennis Podcast listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life and, of course, free shipping on your very first box. Go to homechef.com/tennis. That's homechef.com/tennis for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard it right. Well, Jelko Krajan, you mention him. We can hear from him, the Croatian captain. And frankly, it couldn't really have gone much better, could it?
Yeah, nothing we could imagine more, nothing I could hope more. I said I would take the 2-0 after the first day, and it happened in the way of 6-6 love in the set. It's really amazing to do it in the final, playing away. So, I mean, really, it's just incredible day for us, but we have to be careful. We had the same thing playing each other in the semis after the first day, and it got complicated in the end. So it's just one big step forward, but we have to look for tomorrow's day.
We'll talk about Borna first. His match, impeccable performance. There was maybe a moment when the match could have turned at 5-4 in the second, but he controlled the match like he controlled it from the beginning until the end. He played very aggressive to the back end of Jeremy, which was the game plan, he told us. And yeah, he was untouchable.
Yeah, I mean, he really showed the quality that he has at the moment, and it could maybe change the second set when he was 5-4 down, but it wouldn't change the match, I think, overall, because the match was long and it's on clay. He's physically in a great shape, so beating him on best of three sets, it's very tough. And as I said in the beginning, it's going to be tough today. It's finals, like, you can forget all the statistics and everything, but in the end, I said I was hoping that the quality that we have on our side of the players, it's going to prevail, and it happened in the first match, and he really played tactically perfect from beginning, and Shardy maybe had a slow start. He felt the finals. I mean, it's incredible tough to play at home, for sure, in the finals. We felt it 2 years ago, and Shardy had the problems in the beginning. Borna used it, and after that, he was unstoppable.
Marin, perfect performance. He proves why he's the top 10 player, even though Joe had an injury at the end, we saw it, but like Borna, never lost serve in six sets. That's an amazing performance.
Yeah, I mean, not losing serve on clay in three sets, it's not easy. So it means that they were really serving, both of them, really amazing. And yeah, Tsonga was maybe a little bit unlucky. Maybe he got injured somewhere and the end of the second set that I could feel. But again, it's not because of that. It's just because of the quality Marin had. And I was a little bit maybe scared of that Marin's match because he didn't have great moments in recently and wins, and he couldn't close out his matches. So being here, it's even tougher. But he showed that he's a big player, that he went through these matches already, and he was on his level today.
So like you said, you're up 2-0. The danger is that you're up 2-0, but you're not up 3-0.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's one more match. We made two big steps today. We need one more. We still have a big opponents and big opponents tomorrow in doubles playing Hebert Mahud. It's one of the best doubles teams in the world. So we have to just focus on that match as much as possible and come back tomorrow and to do the same thing, to put the quality that we have in the team, to put it on the court, and then the result is going to come in the end.
So there's Jelko Krajan, the Croatian captain. Matt, I think it's fair to say he's pretty delighted with the way it's gone. I mean, I know him a little bit. I interviewed him when he was coaching Laura Robson back when she beat Lee Nahr and Kim Clijsters. And he was so candid during that time, so unusually candid in interviews, that I think it was a little bit off-putting for the Laura Robson camp, to be honest. I think they would rather he would have just, you know, kept his cards a little closer to his chest. But you can tell there that whilst he knows the job isn't done, he's got to get another point, his team have. He knows Mahu and Herbert are good, but he feels, doesn't he, as though he's over the hump here.
Yeah, no, he's sort of, the hard work has been done. He wanted 2-0 on day one, and he's got it, and he's got it so emphatically. Sort of, you almost get the feeling like they've almost crushed France's spirit, just the way they've dominated today. And it does make you wonder what they might do tomorrow, because as he mentioned in that interview, they were also 2-0 up in the semi-final in Zadar against the USA. And that was Čović and Čilić putting them 2-0 up. And then
and they 6-0 ended up, sets up as well, yeah, on that occasion.
And then they ended up in a fifth rubber. Pavic and Dodig lost to Brian and Harrison. And then Čilić lost to Querrey. And then suddenly it was all down to Čović. So maybe he's going to try and, you know, go for the kill tomorrow. And maybe that means including Čilić. Čilić has said he's ready to play doubles. I don't know. Maybe including Čilić doesn't make that a stronger doubles team, but it's something that he can think about.
Mm. Well, you mentioned that semi-final. It was Dodig and Pavic who lost 7-6 in the fifth set to Brian and Harrison. That made it 2-1. Then Čilić lost in four sets to Querrey, and that was kind of where all the problems seemed to really start, this run of losing matches when he was ahead. And then it went down to a fifth rubber with Čović beating Tiafoe from 2-1 down to win 6-3 in the fifth. Mm. That having won the first six sets of the tie. I mean, Catherine, you've seen so many of these Davis Cup ties now. You've seen the one up close last year. Something can happen on doubles day, can't it? It really can turn. Even something that seems as one-sided as this. If the French pair, if Mahu and Herbert, manage to conjure a win tomorrow, just imagine what it would be like for Croatia to try to get over the line on Sunday.
Yeah, without question. Can you imagine, so Mahu Herbert seal an historic victory tomorrow? Can you imagine the atmosphere inside that stadium on Sunday as all the French teams stand there arm in arm, Nicolas Mahu presumably in even more floods of tears, while those 20,000 people around them sing along with La Marseillaise? I mean, it's going to be even more difficult, probably times 10, for those Croatian guys to make it just about the tennis on Sunday than it was today. So it's not over. I think Croatia are extremely heavy favourites from this position, and they've given me every reason, particularly Borna Čović, I think, to believe that they are so up to the task of seeing this through, of not letting the occasion get to them. There's something about Yannick Noah, there's something about La Marseillaise, there's something about that stadium in Lille. You know, there's something about the Davis Cup, isn't there? And as you say, particularly doubles day. So stranger things have happened, but I do think Croatia are going to win.
Well, you've just given me goosebumps describing that Mahu La Marseillaise scene, because I can just imagine that, I'm picturing that. Catherine says stranger things have happened, Matt. Have they? Has this ever happened before in the Davis Cup final? Two love up to not win?
Once in 1939, when it was called the Challenge Round, and Australia beat the USA.
Challenge Round is when you didn't have to play anything to get there, isn't it? You just sort of, because you'd won it before, you got straight into the final.
Yeah.
Do you think Yannick Noah is trying to dig out videos from 1936 of that? He's putting it into the YouTube search. 1936, Challenge Round, Davis Cup.
I think he said.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, so 1936 wouldn't get you very far.
All right. Still, I think just about pre-YouTube.
Probably, yeah. It's just a bit. What do you think? Do you think we're going to be playing live rubbers, you two, on Sunday?
Yeah, I do.
I do. I think Mahu and Herbert will somehow get over the line tomorrow.
Yeah.
Just.
It can't end like this, can it? It can't.
I hope not. Otherwise, I mean, what are we going to do on Sunday if it does?
Well,
you start planning your day off in Lille, Matt.
Oh, I could do that. Yeah, I could do that.
Right. Well, I'm coming if we're doing that. Fine. Well, we'll cross that bridge when it comes. We have all of that to look forward to. Doubles tomorrow. What time does it all start tomorrow, Matt?
It's the same as today. 2 o'clock local.
2 o'clock local. Right. Okay. Well, we'll be there and you can watch it live streamed as well on the Davis Cup website. The whole tie is available for €4.99. So I was watching that on my iPad today. That was it was great, great fun to watch. We'll be there again tomorrow. We'll be back with another tennis podcast tomorrow after play. Catherine Whittaker, Matt Roberts and myself, David Law. We are brought to you in association with The Telegraph. We are executive produced by Melanie Bowes, Triple S and TennisBalls.com. We are sponsored by La Manga Club and our mascot is Charlie the Ferret. We'll see you tomorrow for Doubles Day in the Davis Cup Final.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.